Well, I'm service this morning by wishing you a happy new year. And in many ways, by doing that, we simply follow the trends and customs of those around us. But the facts are, it is the Sunday of 2014. We are gathered here as a church. It's good to have visitors with us this morning, and we welcome you. But we are here as a church, a group of people who have committed themselves to one another because they are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to ask a number of questions. Where are we? Where are we going? And how are we going to get there during 2014? It's good. We have a change in the calendar, and we have changes at anniversaries, birthdays, things like that, to actually sit down and to ask these questions. Well, during this week of prayer, I to just run a mini series. I won't be speaking at all the meetings, but at the meetings at which I am speaking, I want us to look at a series of verses through 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in a way, in my mind, I've got this slogan in the back of my mind. Let's get Corinthian. Now, those of you who know the history of Corinth might say, hang on, Bernard, to Corinthianize was seen as an awful term because of the immorality in that city. But it isn't that aspect of Corinth that I want us to look at. I want us to look at the lessons that the church in Corinth learnt. And I want us to see some of the things that Paul taught them through these letters that he wrote to them. In this morning's service, I want us in particular to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, obviously, Paul was writing that in a set context. And we'll look at that context a little later. And to do that, we'll need to go back to the book of Acts. But we have to read this verse in our context as well. And I trust as we read it at the beginning of this year, we are prepared to ask those questions that I was asking earlier. Where do we start? Where do we hope to go? Well, the facts are, we can't change our starting point. We are this morning. If we're young, we're at the beginning of our lives. Those of us who are older, we have probably got more behind us than we've got in front of us. But we have come to a changing point. We've come to a turning point. And we have to make sure that as we go forward, we know the condition in which we find ourselves. Let me illustrate this. Recently, Linda and I were out traveling with folk that we know, and we were following them, and I became aware that the car that they were driving was slowing down. And eventually they pulled over, we followed them, and the driver said, you know, the car is overheating. I'm going to have to go home. Can you take my wife? And we said, yeah, fine, that we'll do that. And he was going to pick up this car and follow us until, as we were traveling, his wife said, oops, I've got the car keys. So I had to go back and I had to give him the keys. But by the time I got back, he'd looked at the car he was driving, and there wasn't a major problem with the car, but it was a result of where he'd been working, and it seemed that the radiator and other air intakes on the car had got clogged up. And in effect, the car were able to breathe. And once he'd got that cleared out, once the air could pass through the engine as it was supposed to. The car was up and running. What had happened? He had been driving the car for regular journeys, and slowly but surely a problem had built up. Our lives are like that. We do a short trip here, we do a short trip there. We have this experience, we have that experience. And without realizing it, it has a build-up effect in our lives. And we find ourselves down. We find that we can't face the challenges of life. Now, once that man had cleared up the clogging effect of his car, he could proceed. What about our relationship with God? What are the things that are clogging our lives? What are the things that have been allowed to, as it were, push Christ into the background or to dim our experience of him? Well, this week I want us to look at these two letters. I've got a series of headings. The first one today is the only foundation. This evening, God willing, I hope to look at the only source of growth. Then tomorrow, the only motivation. Tuesday, the only understanding of ministry. And we're to see ministry as a battle. Then on Friday, we will look at the only purpose in ministry. And God willing, next Sunday, the ultimate focus of ministry and the paradox in ministry, the things that seem to be contradictory. So the only foundation this morning, or the only starting point in ministry. Well, if we are going to understand our lives and our ministry this morning, we have to make sure that we understand the foundation that God has given to us. And we have to accept only one foundation. And this is what Paul wrote about here in verse 2. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Notice in verse 1 he said, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." Paul had made a commitment. And he'd made a commitment for a specific reason. We are this year to follow Paul's example. As a church, we are to preach Christ for the salvation of sinners. That is to be our priority. We can do many things for the world, and we are to do them. We are to engage in social action and in showing practical Christian love. But our first priority is to preach Christ so that lost sinners might be saved. But we are also to preach Christ so that we as believers live the only Jesus to save and to keep us. That's a commitment that we have to make. My older Christian friends this morning, those of us who have walked as a Christian for decades, are we still trusting the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we trusting our traditions, our own resources, our experience in life? Paul says that he came to this church deciding that he wasn't going to do the other things that were going on around him. He uses this word, "I decided." If you're using the AV, it probably is written as "I determined." "I resolved." In effect, he had made a decision that might be made in a court of law. It was a life-changing decision. He was not going to allow other things to blur focus, to blur his attention. He had a responsibility to preach Christ. Now, this wasn't blind faith. Many people say, "Oh, you Christians, All you talk about is trusting Jesus. Now, Paul wasn't thick. He wasn't an ignoramus. He was an intelligent man. And he'd sat down and he had weighed up the facts. And he had said, my priority has got to be preaching Christ. If I let anything else distract me from this, I will be making a mistake and I will be doing the wrong thing. Now, the way Paul writes this, I decided he's actually talking about one point in time. When he got to Corinth, after the experience that he had, when he saw what Corinth was like, he said, I had to make a decision. I had to change my assessment of things. I had to make sure that Christ was the priority. I decided to know nothing among you. And this word know, he says, I was going to make sure that my focus, my eyes, were fixed on Jesus. You know, when we're driving, it is vital that our eyes are fixed on the road ahead or in the rearview mirror occasionally. I'll make an admission. When I was younger, I could fiddle around with the radio and I could do this and I could do that. And on the whole, I kept the car going in a straight line. These days I find if something goes wrong with the radio and I try to adjust it, hang on, where am I? It seems that my focus goes and the concentration isn't there. So I try to avoid the radio a lot these days. But it illustrates what can happen in our Christian lives. Oh yes, I'll be there on Sunday and I will be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the other things come in during the week, where is Christ? Is he still the focus of our lives? Are we still seeking the help of the Holy Spirit? Paul says that he decided to know nothing, to see nothing other than Christ Jesus and him crucified. Now, to us, this seems a truism. A word, a statement that you don't need to make. Bernard, you're wasting your breath saying that Christ and him crucified has got to be the focus of our attention. Friends, I'm not wasting my breath. It is true. It has to be our priority. But other things can come in and can deviate us, can distract us from this great priority. We live in a day of risk assessments. Oh, we're going out on a trip with the children. We have got to do a risk assessment. We are going to change the light bulbs. We have got to do a risk assessment. Friends, do we sit down and do a risk assessment on our ministry? Are we allowing things to distract us? In effect, that is why Paul decided, determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And here I want us to see why he made this decision and to understand the times in which Paul lived. Flick back in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 17, because you will see there what had happened in Paul's life before he got to Corinth and things that happened after he got to Corinth. There were three things that were causing pressure in his life. The first one was the world famous Greek philosophy. Acts 17 tells us about Paul arguing and discussing with the Greek philosophers. You see in verse 22, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, Paul said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." But notice what happens after he has finished his sermon or his speech. Verse 32, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again on this.'" Paul knew that he was up against people who laughed at the message that he was preaching. The wisdom of this world did not fit with the gospel, and the wisdom that Paul was preaching seemed to them a contradiction. But in chapter 18 of this, we find Paul faced with the Jews, and he reasoned, this is verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. "When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed him and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, 'Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent.'" More than once did Paul have to do this. He was preaching to his own people. He was preaching to people who had heard the word of God throughout their history. And yet, they oppose him. They revile him. And he has to make a decision that he won't waste his breath teaching them. Then the third pressure that he faced, so he had human philosophy, he had the watered-down traditions of Old Testament believers, and then thirdly, he had the pressure of lawlessness and moral breakdown. Again, in Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, "The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking.'" From a metropolitan city, people had come from all different areas of the world. They had come with their morality. They had come with their immorality. And as a result of their immorality, life was cheap. Paul was afraid. So he had human philosophy, he had traditional religion, he had lawless and moral breakdown. And they were beginning to affect the way that Paul thought, acted, and preached. Friends, we are no different. Day after day after day, the media is having an effect on us. The people amongst whom we live are having an effect on us. And the immorality of Corinth is something that I want us to look at a little bit more fully this evening. But if you flick back now to 1 Corinthians, you will see the immorality that Paul faced. But here, 1 Corinthians 6. "And do you not know that the unrighteous," this is 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, "the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice sexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor others, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you."